Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you Galatians 4, 13 through 17. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation was, in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that, if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth? Now this epistle was authored by the Holy Spirit and written by the Apostle Paul to the churches of Galatia. One of the primary purposes was to root out false doctrines and Judaizing teachers that were leading brethren to return to Judaism. They taught that men could be justified by the law of Moses, and that the Jewish ordinances were binding upon the Gentiles. They either did not understand or would not accept the fact that the old law had been taken away at the cross of Christ. Paul describes the Galatian brethren as being removed from the truth to a perverted gospel, Galatians 1, 6, and 7. He says they were bewitched, that is, they were deceived and misled, Galatians 3 and verse 1. They were turning again to the weak and beggarly elements from which they had been delivered and were entering again into bondage, Galatians 4 and verse 9. He asked, who had hindered them from obeying the truth, Galatians 5 and verse 7. And he warned that to follow such teaching would be to fall from grace, Galatians 5 and verse 4. And even though they had once commended Paul and would have done most anything for him, Paul was now afraid that he had bestowed labor upon them in vain, Galatians 4:11. Were they turning against Paul and the message of truth he had preached to them? Were they going to be offended because he now warns them of the encroachments of apostasy? In short, he asked, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Friend, there are at least four things Paul's question suggests. One, there are times when God's children need rebuking as well as those who live in the lost world. Do we not read about Simon in Acts 8? And did not Paul have to rebuke Peter in Galatians 2:11 and verse 14? We read where John spoke sharply about a man named Diotrephes in 1 John 3. And Paul wrote to Timothy, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20. There can be no doubt that Christians in error need rebuking as much as anybody, and the failure to rebuke sin and false doctrines in the church is to invite, indeed allow, apostasy, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Paul's question also suggests the possibility that the preaching of the truth to brethren may make enemies, even of former friends. Such a reaction is not to be considered unlikely, especially from those who have never been friends. Moses stood before Pharaoh and warned of the plagues that would befall Egypt. Pharaoh's response was one of intense anger and threat. Elijah condemned the sins of Jezebel and Ahab, and his reward was that he was pursued and had to flee for his very life. Did not John the Baptist lose his life by being beheaded because he made enemies by telling the truth? Ahab once said about the prophet Micaiah, I hate him, for he doth prophesy no good concerning me, but evil. 1 Kings 22 and verse 8. Isaiah 30 and verse 10 reveals to us the attitude of Israel when rebuked. They said, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. No, we're not to be surprised that there are some that consider us enemies when, even though motivated by love, we expose the error they preach and practice. John wrote, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, 1 John 3 and verse 13. Jesus had said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you," John 15:18. And Matthew 10 and verse 22, he said, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Now we doubt that Paul even asked the question out of an idea that resentment toward him could not be the result of his teaching. It was asked to show his readers the inconsistency and the sinfulness of rejecting him because they did not accept the truth. But thirdly, there were those who will oppose the truth then, and there are those who will oppose the truth now. Why would anyone want to oppose God's truth? I know that some do so out of ignorance. Peter told the Jews, "And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as once did your rulers," Acts 3 and verse 19. Paul explained that he once did things contrary to Christ out of ignorance, 1 Timothy 1:3. The Gentiles were alienated through ignorance, Ephesians 4:18. We're not to suppose that ignorance justified or excused their wrongdoing. There's a difference between explaining why a thing takes place and giving justification or excuse for it. Acts 17 and verse 30 reads, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." But some oppose the truth knowingly. They don't want the truth. They do not have a love for the truth. Paul said, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. Jesus explained in John 3 and verse 19, "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Yes, some are even said to be willfully ignorant, 2 Peter 3 and verse 5. It is because they want their own way rather than the way of God, Romans 10, verse 2 and 3. You could not expect people of that frame of mind to consider anyone who spoke the truth to be considered as a friend. The fourth implication of Paul's question is that the truth must be preached, even if it does make enemies for the messenger. To fail to preach the truth because of the fear of making enemies is to offend God and be guilty of hideous compromise and disloyalty to the truth. Many quit following Jesus because of the hard sayings that he taught. In Matthew chapter 15, we learn the Lord's attitude toward those who would be your enemies because you stand for the truth. On that occasion, Jesus had spoken words of rebuke to some of his hearers to such an extent that even they disturbed some of his followers. He was reminded that the Pharisees were offended at the things that he said. Did Jesus run to them and apologize for what he had taught? Did he indicate that he might have been too hard? Did he wish he could recall the time and have done differently? Indeed not. He stated, "Every plant which my heavenly Father planteth not shall be rooted up." In Matthew 15 and verse 13, and he admonished, "Let them alone." Now, he did not infer disinterest in those who recoiled under his teaching, but he did not suggest in the slightest way to retract the truth in order to win those who would not accept it. He only emphasized the seriousness of not conforming to the truth. In 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, Paul outlines the steps into apostasy. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." First, sound doctrine was no longer what was wanted, nor would it be tolerated. Next came the securing of teachers who would teach and preach whatever the hearers wanted, with little to no regard for what was needed. They would turn away from the truth, they would follow the error of fables and false doctrines. Their teachers would scratch their itching ears with pleasant words to please them rather than sound words to save them. My beloved listener, I have seen individuals and even leaders in congregations behave just exactly like Paul said those who are heading toward digression would act, leading others into apostasy. They may have once stood for the truth, but they relaxed and they gave in to a spirit of compromise and digression and proceeded to go more and more out of the way. They chose preachers and teachers that conformed to what liberal and digressive members wanted and rebuked the sound teaching that they needed. It is no strange and unheard of circumstance today for some to become your enemy, indeed a vicious and vindictive enemy of faithful brethren, because faithful brethren would dare to tell them the truth. Some have contended we should preach the Bible and just leave other people alone. This sounds so pleasing that some have acted stupidly and even given in to such a contention as if there was some credibility in it. But let's put that kind of advice to the test. Try preaching In the Beginning God. You'll make enemies out of atheist, out of evolutionist, out of the humanist. Just go teach Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and you will offend every idolater on the earth. You preach, without faith it is impossible to please him, and you will offend the moralist who thinks just being good is sufficient. Try preaching, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you'll reap the wrath of nearly every denominationalist around you. You just preach God created, and that agitates the evolutionist. You preach giving as prospered and forsake not the assembly, and you arouse the ire of many brethren. To contend that Jesus is the Son of God will anger the skeptic. If you say man is more than a material being but is also an immortal soul, you'll lose the friendship of the materialist. Can you imagine how offended are the Buddhists and the Jews and the Mohammedans when you say, as Jesus did, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. And on we can go. There is no point of truth from God's book that presently comes to mind that we would not have to shelve if we followed the ill-conceived idea to simply preach the Bible and leave others alone. Friend, if you preach the Bible, you cannot leave anybody alone. Are we to adopt a position like one foolish command given to one army? Men, shoot to win, but don't dare hit anybody. Maybe we're too much like the preacher who said he refused to preach on the subject of hell because he had too many friends that are going there. It is a tragedy of my preaching years thus far to note that many brethren will defend and follow error and those who promote it, but get angry if any effort is made to tell them the truth. Especially is this true if error come from some colleges, or some professors, or some prominent brethren who are big crowd pleasers. But we must have the attitude expressed by Paul, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Galatians 1:10. All Christians have at least two serious duties toward all preaching that cannot be set aside. One is the duty of the preacher to teach the truth. He ought not at any time be deliberately offensive, abusive, or unkind. But he must be firm. He must send forth a certain sound, realizing that he shall receive the heavier judgment, James 3:1. He must say with Paul, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel," 1 Corinthians 9:16. He must preach, and he must preach the gospel. And there is the duty of the hearer. Jesus warned to take heed, therefore, how ye hear, Luke 8:18. We are expected to search the Scriptures to see whether or not the preaching we are hearing is the truth, Acts 17:11. Energy is better put to the use of refraining from anger when the truth strikes home, but should be spent in study and prayer with the determination to obey what God teaches. Let each one examine his own heart and see the extent he is willing to learn and follow the truth. If you hear what is not the truth, discharge your duty and let it be known that it is not the truth. Let the one who has proclaimed the error have the advantage of having it called to his attention. No man is infallible or beyond making mistakes or reaching wrong conclusions. On the other hand, when we hear what we have not properly considered heretofore in the light of the Bible, and if it offends, let us make it inoffensive, not by railing against the messenger of truth or becoming the enemy of the one who has loved us enough to tell us the truth. Make the truth inoffensive by conforming to it and adopting it for your own way of thinking and behaving. Some in Galatia were about to make a serious blunder. Possibly some have already made the blunder by counting Paul as an enemy because he cared for their spiritual welfare enough to tell them the truth they needed, even when it might not have been the most pleasant and popular thing to do. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.